Good to be with you again. After missing a couple weeks on Wednesday nights, we miss being with you and praying and sharing. It's good to be back. Thank you for that time of prayer, too. I'm going to give you a word and just see what comes to your mind. Goat. Cheese. Billy. Bully. Pontiac. Greatest of all time. That's the answer I was actually looking for. So. Maybe if I had capital G, capital O, capital A, capital T, maybe it would have come to your mind. Maybe not. If you're not into sports, it's a good thing. It's a good chance that you wouldn't have thought of that. Greatest of all time. It actually supposedly started back with Muhammad Ali in 1992. I think that his wife actually got a copyright on that somehow. I don't know that she's been able to hang on to that. But and then some of your favorite singer, LL Cool J, he had a song in 2000, and that really is when it supposedly became popular. Now, whether it's Tom Brady or Drew Brees now after his performance Sunday, or Michael Jordan or LeBron James, we think about the greatest of all time. We want to look at a verse tonight in Psalm 18. It's a verse about greatness. It's a verse about human greatness. But not necessarily the greatest of all time, because when it comes to this, the Lord Jesus is already the greatest of all time. But this was written by David. And what I'd like for us to look at a little bit is just some thoughts about his testimony regarding this phrase in a verse and ours. So I'm going to read the whole psalm. We're going to be looking at one phrase or one verse, but I think to get this whole psalm in our minds will be helpful. I'm even going to read the title, the inscription there in the beginning, Psalm 18. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above. He took me, drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness. according to the cleanness of my hands in His sight. With the merciful, You will show Yourself merciful. With a blameless man, You will show Yourself blameless. With the pure, You will show Yourself pure. And with the devious, You will show Yourself shrewd. For You will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by You I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of Your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but He did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You will also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to You, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to Your name. Great deliverance He gives to His king, and shows mercy to His anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. Did you notice the interesting verse about greatness? It's in verse 35, just the last phrase of that verse. And it is so strange to find it in this context. This was a psalm of war. This was a psalm of battle. This was a psalm of strength. This was a psalm of power. This is a psalm of God coming into this world. And if you go back and see how David described it, beginning there in verse 7, with the earth shaking and trembling, the anger of God, smoke, as it were, going from His nostrils, bowing the heavens down, flying on the wings of the wind. We see thick clouds with hailstones and coals of fire, and the Lord thundering from heaven. And then we see David. We see David coming and defeating his enemy, beating them as fine as the dust. And what in the world is this phrase doing in verse 35? Your gentleness has made me great. That must have been a scribal error, wouldn't you think? I mean, that does not fit in this psalm. He's praying to God after all of this, and he says, "Your gentleness has made me great." I think just for a few moments about David's testimony, the context of this psalm. We also find it quoted pretty close to what we read tonight in 2 Samuel 22. But most of the commentators feel like that historically it would fall about right after 2 Samuel chapter 7 and chapter 8. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, the first verse says that, "Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around." And then the next chapter records his victories over the Philistines, over Moab, over Zobah, over the Syrians, and over Edom. And then verse 15 of 2 Samuel 8 says, "So David reigned over all Israel. And David administered judgment and justice to all his people." So it seems that that is where this falls. David has become king, not only of Judah, not only being anointed by Samuel and then later being recognized by Judah, but now Israel, the other 10 tribes, have also recognized him, and he has He is king over all of them. He's in a good place. A good place. In fact, David says there in verse 35 that he has been made great. Made me great. You can find that Hebrew word all through the Old Testament. It's sometimes translated multiplied or increased, exceeding, abundant, excel. So David is not so much saying, hey, I'm the greatest of all time. I'm the greatest king there ever was. Look at me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying God has multiplied his influence, his power, his opportunity, and yes, his possessions, his rule. God has given him stability in verse 36. In verses 37 to 42, God has given him victory. In verses 43 to 45, God has given him authority over the nations. He has been established as king. He is honored. He is obeyed. His territory is expanded. And it's so interesting to me that David gives credit for this greatness to God's gentleness. Now, this word is only used one other time in the Hebrew Old Testament. It's in Psalm 45. Let me read the verses 3 to 5. It's in verse 4. But listen again to the context. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, that's the same word in the Hebrew, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. A messianic psalm there, speaking of the Lord Jesus. Again, in this context of war, we see this thought of humility, this thought of gentleness. The word comes from a word which means lowliness. The thought here is humility or meekness. Some translators translate it condescension. The picture that I get is Daniel Murdoch cracking an egg. Somebody with great strength doing something with something that's very fragile. Or maybe we could think of Clayton Carpenter. And little Boaz is born and given first to his mother, Caitlin. That's only right. She did all the work. But then eventually, this big, strong, burly guy who can handle a 2x4 and a 20-foot-long piece of PVC or whatever he's carrying around, big, strong guy, has now got to take something fragile and hold it in his hands and protect it and not drop it and not throw it around like a sack of seed, but to be gentle. He's got to, as it were, he's got to become lowly. He's got to go away from the strength that is natural in him, and he's got to be gentle with that little baby or with that egg or with that piece of china. Yes, our God can, and He does, thunder and lightning like He did at Sinai and like David speaks of Him doing here. But more often, God seems to use encouragement in His gentleness rather than threats. God seems to seek to woo us to Himself rather than drive us to Himself. God attends as a shepherd to lead us along rather than standing behind us with a stick and compelling us along. He does both. But David said it was God's gentleness that made him great. You know, David wrote this inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. I think he had a spiritual insight into his own life. The gentleness of God up to this point in his life when he was a shepherd. Did he learn something of the gentleness of God even as he cared for those newborn sheep? Those sheep that were injured, that needed the oil poured on them. When he himself was anointed king, called from the sheep because he wasn't considered important enough to be a candidate even to be anointed by Samuel. So his dad didn't even have him there. He had all his brothers there. But he learned something of the gentleness of God as he was brought to be anointed. As the Spirit of God came upon him. As he ministered. Even in Goliath's death. Even in taking that stone in that sling. And yet we see the gentleness of God. Not a hand-to-hand combat rolling around on the ground. But one stone flying through the air. I see God's gentleness in that. The gentleness of God in bringing a friend like Jonathan to David. In protecting him from Saul. In gathering as he was there in that cave at Adullam. And all of those people who were distraught and in debt. And they were drawn to him and they came and they said, "We want to follow you." The gentleness of God. God's gentle direction when he was in Keilah and he heard that Saul was coming to try to capture him in the city, and he prayed to God and God said, "You need to leave." And his men said, "We don't want to leave." And so he went back and prayed to God, and in God's gentleness, he didn't slap David upside the head and say, "I already told you once, I'm not telling you again." David said, "The gentleness of God has made me great." Abigail intercepting David before he went and destroyed the house of her husband. And we could go on and on about God's gentleness in the life of David. He wanted to build the temple. And God said, "You're not going to build the temple, but I'm going to let you provide for the temple. And I'm going to set up a covenant with you, David, in your house, in your kingdom, and your throne forever." The gentleness of God would make him great, and he would continue to experience the gentleness of God. When he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah, he should have been killed by the law. He should have forfeited his life. And God was gentle. Gentle even to give him that assurance of that little baby boy whose life was taken because of his father's sin. That David could say, "He can't come to me, but I can go to him. And I'll see him again." Now what about your testimony? The context of your life. You know, are you able to say this, or would you like to be able to say this to God? "Your gentleness has made me great. The greatest of all time, the Lord Jesus." Wouldn't you like to be like Him? Isn't that our goal? Isn't that our desire? Isn't that God's goal for us? Isn't that what He's doing? He's conforming us to the image of His Son. That's ultimately going to be it. Don't we want that now? I can't think of anything greater. Is God working gently in your life? I think sometimes we notice the times when He does have to discipline us a little harsher. But you know, He's working gently. Especially compared to what He can do. That great power of God that spoke the universe into existence. That bowed the heavens and came down on behalf of David. That great power, and yet He says, "I'm going to hold back on all that power. And I'm going to come and I'm going to touch your life gently. And I'm going to shape you to be like my Son." And sometimes it's going to hurt, but most of the time it's going to be gentle. A gentle touch. And you remember Elijah, he was there and that fire came by and God wasn't in the fire and He wasn't in the earthquake and He wasn't in the wind, the powerful. He was in that still, small voice. God's gentle work. And when I think about what I deserve, any way that God touches my life is gentle compared to what I deserve in my life. Any touch is gentle. He uses His Word in our lives. He uses a friend. He uses a gentle nudge. He uses a sunset. He uses a sense of His embrace in our lives. He uses an answer to prayer. By His Spirit, He's working the life of the Lord Jesus in us and through us, Galatians 2:20. And the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." And in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul gave his own testimony as he pled with the Corinthians by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. God's gentle humility doesn't lessen His greatness in any way. But without His gentleness, we would never experience the true greatness of knowing Him and being like His Son, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for David's testimony. Lord, how You worked so powerfully in his life, and yet as he looked at what You had done for him, he gave the credit to Your gentleness. Lord, that You would humble Yourself to give us a light touch, just what we need, at just the right time. Father, we are in awe. We are overwhelmed. Father, thank You for Your gentleness with us. Father, thank You that everything You do for us is in love and grace. And Father, we just want to yield ourselves even that much more to You, that we might be more like Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Truly, His greatness is what we want evidence in our lives for His glory. Father, continue to remind us of the way that You work. And Father, we thank You for all those times that You touch our lives in Your gentleness with Your goal of making us great. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord encourage you with His gentleness tonight.